Yahweh bless you. Tonight we're going to be learning about the invisible force. In the Hebrew, it's called Ruach. It is feminine for the most part. So almost every time you see it, especially in Genesis 1, when they'll say it's the third person of the Trinity, this is God the Spirit. No, this is female. So, but it's but it, this invisible force, and really the emphasis of the teaching is I'm trying to help you guys use your imagination to not just read about this invisible force, but to imagine what's really going on when we start reading some of these scriptures of things happening. And it was really inspired from what Vera wrote me, and she wrote this thing about Yahweh's Ruach. And I'll just read what she said in one little paragraph. It really, really painted a picture for me with Genesis. She says here, she's talking about in Genesis 1 where it says Yahweh's brooding or hovering over the waters. So there's something over all the waters like a hen that's over its eggs.
Oh, yeah.
And it says later on, the same words, I think it's Yahweh, he covers like his chicks with it. And so there's the Ruach, this invisible force, is hovering over the waters. And she wrote, here we see the creation occurs through the action of the Spirit of God, or Yahweh, because when Yahweh opens his mouth and says, let there be light, that the breath of his is the Spirit of Yahweh, the Creator. We'll finish up there. We're just looking at, as an exercise of Rotherham and Logos with these footnotes. And then what Vero was really emphasizing is every time Yahweh said something, what came out of his mouth?
His words.
Breath.
Oh, breath.
Can you speak without breathing?
No.
No. Can you? It's almost always out. Can you speak breathing in? You can. It's hilarious. But you cannot speak without breathing. And here with Vero's beautiful paper she wrote of me, it just painted a whole other picture that every time words came out of his mouth, what happened? You can imagine rushing winds, invisible force, everything's affected and changing. Father, we thank you for tonight, for working through me. I thank you for working through every believer that's here, that you're inside them, and help your message get through me. And we thank you that your word says covet to speak in tongues or covet to prophesy. So we thank you that if anybody would like to speak in tongues, interpret, or prophesy, please do it.
I'll speak in tongues and interpret. Bukuliana eata satameatu kuriati beata meatu akayatu mo liana eati beati bukuyata beati. Walk in the diligence of my words, the words I put on your heart. Go ahead and manifest those words and put them into action, and they will set you free and the world around you free. You are my children who have been endowed with great spiritual power in order that you may set the captives free, but you must speak and you must act for that to occur.
Ebbero han desiderio I monoculto santore. No. Know this. That word know means I want you to comprehend it. Comprehend and understand this, that I am truly your Father, but I am also your Creator. I am the Creator of all life. Know this when you walk out into the darkness, that you can shine as bright lights, because you have me within you.
Amen. Know that the questions you have are written in my words. Seek my word for the questions, for the desires, for everything. It's all written there. All your answers are in my word.
Yeah. Thank you for those words. What's neat, Father, thank you. Some examples, some important things for younger people. I guess we've got one teenager in here. As you'll feel all this peace, you've been raised in a house full of shalom, peace. Every once in a while, there's going to be sudden dread and something horrible is happening. You, unlike other believers, can sense something's really, really wrong. Mm-hmm. Other kids your age, everything's fun and happy, and they don't know the difference because they don't have the Ruach inside them. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside them, or they've never listened to it. And it's real important because air and motion power, Dad just did for me Monday. we started off with a prophecy in the morning. I recorded it. It didn't seem like it applied very well because it was taught about me confronting fear, anxiety, joy. What I did not know is I was going to get a phone call from a client with the saddest story ever. Her son, who's getting ready to retire, 60 years old, an auto mechanic. His car fell on his neck and broke it, and his wife found him dead. Mm-hmm. He is a really neat guy. His wife just found him, and when I heard this, you know what happened to my piece? It was gone. And I'm like, I was just on top of a 10-foot ladder with a saw over a driveway. But then Yahweh was like, okay, it's serious, but did you check your prophecies? And then I went back to a prophecy, and Yahweh had already addressed the problem before it was. He goes, I am your shalom. Here's this joy and peace, and I started getting it back. That's power. And Fox Nation, they're having a new series on David the King. There's a really neat illustration in this first episode because it shows, it starts when David receives the Ruach. And this is when Saul falls. It's the very beginning. But you get to see Saul without the Ruach. He's insane. And he's panicked, and all of us have been there at some point. When you lose fellowship with Yahweh, if you rebel, and all of a sudden, what are you going to do now? There's red and blue lights in your mirror. You know, when I was a teenager, that was the scariest thing ever. But here is King Saul, and he's crazy until David comes. And then all of a sudden, his sanity returns. What was important by that I thought was important was his peace came back. Yahweh Shalom. That was through David. And you can see that even they're portraying he got his peace back. And what is that peace? It's the Ruach. It's power. How can you have peace and be sleeping in a boat right now? How can you have peace and be thrown into the lion's den, Daniel? How can you have peace? And that is power. And Yahweh's speaking to us, and that is ruin. And we are supposed to be Christ's hands and feet. We are supposed to be power. And so invisible force, Yahweh's power. And there was a story about this guy. His son was I think it was juvenile diabetes. It wasn't from obesity. They're either in Colorado or in Alaska, and the son starts having some sort of episode. They don't have insulin. He's dying. And they're in the middle of nowhere. He's going to die. There's no way. They're lost or something like that. And so the father, after he panicked for a certain period of time, finally hit his knees. And he said, Father, and he confronted his fear. That's my son. He's not supposed to die. He's not going to die here. There's prophecies over him living. And your word says this, and I'm coming to you. And as he spoke these things, you know what happened? A wind filled the forest. And this wind started blowing where there was no wind, and it caused dirt to go up, and everything starts blowing this way and starts pushing him this way. And as he starts going the direction of the wind, he sees there's a guy in a boat. Oh. The guy in the boat's a doctor who was a diabetic that's got medicine. Runs out of there, help, 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 what's going on, what's going on? My son, he's dying. He goes, I'm a doctor. My son's a diabetic, we don't have insulin. I have insulin. And went back. What was that? That was power. And how did Yahweh do this? It was through an invisible force. And so we start seeing this invisible force. Anytime you see the Ruach, so turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 16. The context is fornication, but it's got. We're not talking about fornication, but we are talking about something else. Verse 16. If somebody would read that, and please use the emphasis. Let me see it.
Know ye not that ye are a shrine or naos of Yahweh,
and that the Ruach of Yahweh within you doth dwell.
So do you see the emphasis? Double up. The Ruach of Elohim or Yahweh within you, it dwells. What is Yahweh saying? Yahweh through the scripture here is he saying David danced before the Ark of the Covenant. Why? What's so important about this box? Dad just did a teaching. What is so important about the Ark of the Covenant?
The Word.
It contained the Word. It was Yahweh's Word. And Yahweh, you want to know where Yahweh lives? It's His Word. And what Dad did a teaching also, the temple, Solomon's temple, was all built around what? The Ark of the Covenant and the Word. But Yahweh is showing us that now we are the naos, or the shrine of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is now inside of us. What does that mean? We are a container of an invisible force. And turn to Numbers chapter 7. And you could also, if you wanted, there's a 1 Corinthians 6:19 also is going to say your body is a shrine of the Ruach, the Holy Spirit. We're going to go to Numbers 7. And before all this, Yahweh's teaching Moses all these new things. And there's going to be a tent. They don't have flashlights. So the inside of this tent is going to be very dark. So somebody would read verse 89.
7:89. And when Moses entered into the tent of meeting that he might speak with him, then heard he the voice speaking unto him from off the propitiatory that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim. So he spake unto him.
So imagine going to a very dark tent. And what's the purpose of going in there? He's going to go talk to Yahweh. That is what happens when somebody calls Sean or Israel and says, I need a word. Mom, can you pray for me? They are coming to you. And had we lived back then, it would be Moses coming to us. If you could cross the line with us receiving Christ as a perfect salvation, Moses would be coming to Shana or one of us and saying, what does Yahweh say on this? Mm-hmm. And we're going to go, and he'd go into this place, and this is where Yahweh spoke. Now, what do we know about when Yahweh speaks? There's wind, air in motion. Now, the scriptures does not say there's wind here, but this is where Yahweh is. Can you imagine? Here this is. My wife was also talking about, I think it was what you were saying. Inside these tents, there were candles. And the candles were this holy oil, olive oil, and these lampstands. And they were showing there is no light in here without Yahweh. Yahweh is the light. That's the only thing that's in there. So here's Yahweh is the light. And then here comes this speaking point. Boom. And you can imagine possibly when Moses goes before then, Yahweh starts speaking. Can you imagine some wind? A breath? Because here he is. He's air in motion. He doesn't have hands and feet like us. He is invisible. You want to know what he looks like? He paints a picture through the scriptures. But he's an Elohim that you can't please without faith. And that's why we have to pursue him. But imagine going before them in a wind speaking. Can you imagine Aaron and the Israelites on the outside looking? This is the same God that killed Nadab and Abihu. He has no problem killing some people. Can you imagine the tent breathing with wind inside? Whoa! What's going on in there? Now imagine Zechariah going in the incense before he gets he and his wife get pregnant. When even a messenger starts speaking, there's air in motion where Yahweh is. Now it doesn't specifically say that, but we're going to focus on some things where it is air in motion. Yahweh is an invisible force. And he's inside of us. Turn to Luke chapter 4. So from Genesis Okay, here's a little pop quiz. What did Yahweh do after the judgment had finished with Noah? They're on the box. What did he do to dry the land? Yeah. His invisible force. Here this thing is. This is when we prophesy. This is when we speak in tongues. We're getting out of the way and let Yahweh Elohim work. Hey, I don't have the answers, but I know where he lives. He's right here. Come.
Yeah.
Think about that. Here's Daniel also. What did Daniel have? He had a connection with the invisible Elohim. And Daniel says, I don't have anything. I just know the guy. This is one of the reasons why I didn't want to eat the king's food. So I want to be separate. I want that relationship. But in chapter 4, verse 1, and
Luke 4, 1.
Tell me to slow down. I start getting excited. I'm going too fast. But in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, are you there? Okay. And Yehoshua, full of the Ruach, the invisible force, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Ruach in the desert for 40 days. And we're going to go down to verse 13 and 14. So he receives power, then he goes in to 40 days of being tempted, but he did not get tempted by the adversary before he received the invisible force. What happened when he received that the Ruach? Well, we know that he got baptized and Yahweh spoke. You can imagine what Yahweh knows how to get people's attention. He did it with Peter, James, and John too. This is my son. Imagine wind and stuff, and here this force is upon him. In verse 13, and having concluded every temptation, the adversary departed from him until a fitting season, and Yehoshua returned in what?
The power
of the Ruach. So right now Isaiah is going through a crucible, and he is at the end of man. And to other people that are with him, they're getting to witness the beginning of Yahweh. How can you be so optimistic? How can you be helping other people? Why don't you just cave like other people? Well, because I'm in the image of Elohim. And he's getting to learn. You'll get to learn it too. Everybody goes right around your 20s. I think we should have a whole course when people go through their 20s. There's going to be a time when you were always saved because you chose it, but now in your 20s, is this what you want? Is it not what you want? And you don't have to learn the hard way. I told Elijah when he went off to college, I said, I wish somebody would have given me a course for my 20s. And he said, why? I said, because I was very successful, but I was very stupid. And I thought because I was successful, I didn't need anybody's help, and I just did stupid things. I thought I didn't need anybody's help. So for 10 years, maybe 8 years, I'm like, I'm tired of getting beat up in the world. And so I'm like, I wish I would have. So just be ready. When you get to your 20s, it can be very difficult. let me see here. I didn't finish reading. Somebody would read verse 14. Just read 14 again.
And Yahushua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report went out along the whole of the region concerning him. And he began teaching in their synagogues, being glorified by all.
Why was he being glorified by all?
Because of the Spirit.
He had the Ruach. What did he do with it?
The Word.
When you become a container, of plutonium, there's a purpose. I got something in here. Your dad looks for reasons to pull out his knife, doesn't he? Anybody needs a knife, it's out like that. I mean, no, but you're right. I got that. And my dad has that like that with scriptures. I got a scripture for that. And that's what Yehoshua, we should be with the Ruach. We have an invisible force that we can release. This invisible power. Now we imagine this wind, this invisible force's breath that Moses would have witnessed. You can even imagine what Abraham would have talked to him, breezes and stuff. But now Yehoshua receives it. Now turn to John chapter 20. John 20.
cheat.
So there's no way that you can say you beat me at any time. You cheat. Cheater. You cheat, Dr. Jones.
And Yehoshua, at the end of the book of John, we're going to read 21 through 22. He's getting ready to leave his disciples. Now, Esther, can you imagine your mom and dad saying, we're leaving for a while. You have to take care of yourself in the house for the next 2 years.
I think I'd be fine.
You would be fine with the freedom, but then I got to pay a mortgage. I got to mow the yard.
Take care of Ruth.
I got to take care of Ruth. I don't want to take care of Ruth. I got to be there for Isaiah or Elijah. I got to do all these things. But your mom and dad said, we'll be right back. And Yehoshua is getting ready to leave his disciples. Now think about that. During the ministry with Yehoshua, as long as he was near, everything would be fine. Is what it looked like. Where are you? I'll come to you. And he's getting ready to leave. And he's sitting around with his disciples. This is after he's dead. He's resurrected. There's still some confusion. He spent some time with them. And then in verse 22, they're all sitting around, I think it's like a campfire. They're eating. Until we go to verse 21. And Yehoshua therefore said unto them again, Shalom be unto you. Just as my Father sent me forth, I also send you. And this saying he breathed strongly on them and said unto them what? Receive Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And what is it? It's the invisible force. It is the power. It is what the prophets had. It's what David had. When David went before the king and he says, I will kill Saul. That is Yahweh confirming through the Ruach. David didn't just volunteer because he was the only one. He had the Holy Spirit. Yahweh goes, you go do it. Yahweh instigated this thing. And he's looking at this grass.
You said Saul.
Oh, Saul, I'm sorry. Yeah, Goliath, sorry. But when he went before Saul, I said before Saul, didn't I?
You said kill Saul.
No, I said before Saul. What? I meant before. Because David doesn't volunteer to kill Goliath. He just says, what will be given? And because he's asking, then they say, hey, this guy's asking. Then after he's before Saul, then he volunteers. He didn't volunteer at the very beginning with his brother. And then, at least in the scriptures, just look at it. Now he's in front of Saul. He goes, don't fear. I will go. And what is that? And that is us also. It could be to volunteer. I'll do it. I will go. I will go do this thing. Well, how can you do that? Yahweh will give you confirmation. But Yehoshua breathes a wind on them. What did they receive right then? Nothing. He speaks in parables. He doesn't speak plainly. Neither does Yahweh. We look and why does he just speak plainly? Because you got to earn it. This life is our job to earn a good grade for the next life. And if you get a really good grades in high school, you can get a scholarship, right? There's going to be scholarships when Christ comes back. And you're going to go, fantastic. And it could be nobody ever listened to one of your teachings. But we saw what you did, and you got a A-plus scholarship. We're getting a position out here. Isn't that great? But he breathed on them, and then Yehoshua, before he breathed on them, before he died, Yahweh breathed on him. Here comes the Ruach. It looks as a dove. An air in motion. Air in motion. The Ruach is air in motion. So what happened? This is my son. Imagine something happened with wind. Clouds moving, and all of a sudden this maybe a tornado lands on top of them. What is that? That's the Ruach. And then Yehoshua receives it there, and then it's given partially before he dies. It's given to the 70, but they still don't have it. It's on them, it's off of them. But after he dies, and he gets to take his blood into the Holy of Holies and cover it. It's the perfect sacrifice. Now, had the adversary known, or the rulers of the age, if the rulers of the age had known, they wouldn't even kill him, because now what happened? Now there's something called there's going to be a covering. Now the Ruach is going to be poured out like Joel. So what? So go to Acts 2. And before we read chapter 2 of Acts, the starting of the teaching was really what Veronica was painting a picture. When Yahweh spoke, there was wind in motion. There's breath moving things. He started everything breathing, air in motion. His son gets resurrected. Did Jesus Christ get to have children? No. But on the day of Pentecost, guess what's going to happen? Adam and Eve make children in my image. They fail that one. I wonder if it was 40 days, because 40 days is a year of probation. 40 days and 40 nights, 40 years. How long was Adam and Eve in there? I wouldn't be surprised if we later on would find out it's 40 days. But they did not create in his image. But Yehoshua on the day of Pentecost, what does he do? It's going to be like he's going to be speaking just like Yahweh spoke in Genesis 1:1. He's going to release the Ruach. Because now he's at the right hand of the Father. Now this is before the body of Christ. That's not till Acts 10. But this is the promise of Joel. And somebody would read chapter 2. And think about this with the wind. Who is there? Jesus' mother, Miriam. His brothers are there. Peter, all the apostles are there. Now somebody just read 1 and 2.
And when the day of Pentecost was filling up, they were all together with one intent when there came suddenly out of heaven a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Yeah, go ahead.
And there appeared unto them part asunder tongues like as a fire, and was set upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to be speaking with other kind of tongues, just as the Ruach was given unto them to be sounding forth.
Can you imagine the demons that were witnessing this? We don't know how long the demons or the bad guys, we don't know a whole lot about them. Do they live and die? It doesn't appear that way. It looks like maybe angels and messengers live. But if it's true that they don't die and they don't procreate, because we know angels don't marry, right? They said they're not neither given in marriage. So maybe it could have been that maybe some of the angels were witnessing what was happening, the Ruach being poured out. Bad news. Mm-hmm. Now we got 120 Ark of the Covenants. Now we got 120 Tent of Meetings. All at once. And what did they do? They spoke in tongues, air in motion. And here this whole thing, boom, the air in the motion, it was cloned. And so now we'll go to the handout, and we're going to look at the Rotherham, and to read just the account of Genesis 1:1. And so we have now become the temple of the Ruach Kodesh, this great power. What is the purpose of being the temple of something? And so people can go to it. And that's where we should be saying, who needs prayer? Who needs intercession? Who needs a prophetic word? Call on me. And volunteer yourself. And sometimes by volunteering, Yahweh's going to go, okay, I'm here. And that's why in the book of Acts was the first thing they did after they received salvation. They manifested. They spoke in tongues. What is speaking in tongues? It's perfect prayer, and it's praying. It's perfect prayer, and it gives you strength. I mean, that's just two of besides sacred secrets. Now we'll turn to we'll look at Genesis. To kind of look at the beginning. And what the handouts are is just on the first. This right here is just the footnote of K, the waters. And I have it before the other footnote. The second page is going to be, let's see here, brooding. The brooding is before the waters. But if somebody would read this footnote, so the logos. While you're reading it, you can just touch the footnote and it covers up like that. Somebody would just read that, the footnote in the middle.
The rendering?
Yeah.
The rendering above given of these two important verses may be paraphrased as follows. In the beginning of the present order of things, God created, that is, shaped or formed according to his own divine idea, the heavens above and the earth below. Now, the earth emphasized idiomatically for the purpose of singling it for the first remark, had become waste and wild, probably by previous catastrophe. And darkness emphasized as about to be dealt with was on the face of the roaring deep, but preparing the mind for a new order of things, the Spirit of God was brooding with quickening effect on the face of the waters. And things being so, such being the state of the earth, God said, and thus the renewing, recreating divine acts. Comments.
You know how long I've never read that? You know how long I've had a Rotherham? 20 years. How have I missed that? That should be the beginning of everybody reading what is going on here. Yeah. And it was not until the Logos, where it's interactive, and it just pops up. And I read that, and I went, everybody should read that. Because you know what also pops out on this too? The word but. If I say, Veronica, I love you, but...
Yeah. It's a big problem.
It is. What does it mean? It's a transition. If I say, I'll work for you, but something's changing. I never noticed the word but before. Did you guys ever see the word but?
Yep.
In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth had become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. But! You're like, what is it? A transition. And later on, he's going to explain that he believes this is the fall, some sort of fall. It could have been the adversary. We don't know. But just the word but right there. Now, that's one footnote. Now turn the page to the next footnote, because it's going to talk about what brooding is. And what is brooding? And then we're going to read Genesis. We won't read the whole Genesis. So in Genesis 1, it's going to say the Ruach, Yahweh's Ruach, was brooding over the face of the waters. Rotherham's, what's Rotherham's specialty? Hebrew and Greek, ancient Hebrew and Greek. Would somebody please read what the brooding means?
The beautiful word brooding, an exact rendering of the Hebrew, is most suggestive since it vividly describes the cherishing of incipient life as a preparation for its outburst. Form of such a word clearly denotes a process more or less lengthened rather than an instantaneous act. Standing where it does, it crowns a description of the condition of things on which the first creative mandate of the 6 days took effect.
Wow. We haven't even gotten to verse 4. And what's happening? What's happening? In the beginning, a grammatical inversion. And you gotta look at what he says about that too. It's interesting. Everything was wasted. A fall happened, a rebellion, waste and wild. And Jeremiah says Yahweh does not create things waste and wild. Tohu vo bahu. Yeah, so he doesn't do that. So what happened? Something happened here. But what was hovering? What was brooding? Yahweh's Ruach. What do you think air in motion looks like when it's hovering? What does that mean? I don't know. It's not always air in motion. It's an invisible force. It's invisible, but you can see manifestations. And what we are witnessing at the very beginning is a counterstrike. Boom. Something is getting ready to happen. And now we'll just read this that's on here as an example, not the footnote. But every time Yahweh said, imagine the Ruach being released out. Imagine. You think of a king with an edict. We just watched Alice in Wonderland. Off of their head! Off of their head! Off of their head! It was actually really funny. Off of their head. But there's an edict. And when Yahweh releases a word, and Vera also pointed this out too, what she wrote me, it says that Isaiah 55:11, Yahweh's word does not come back until it's fulfilled what it's called to do. Does that paint a picture of something different than just something you hear? There is something that happens when we speak His word as Elohims, as sons of Elohim. And when He speaks something, it releases a power and it doesn't come back. So what is happening? I think of Fantasia or something. But in the beginning, I'll read it. Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth had become waste and wild, and darkness was on the face of the roaring deep. But the Ruach of Yahweh was brooding over the face of the waters. And Yahweh said, He breathed. When you breathe, what happens?
The light.
Air in motion. Mm-hmm. Light be. Power was released. Proverbs says, death and life are in the yod of the tongue. The power of the tongue. Speak it. And speak boldly. And if you're humble, you say, Yahweh will tell you when to retract things. He goes, I understand what you're saying, Aaron, and I understand your heart, but you need to tell those people you're in error. Okay. Will you do that? Absolutely. And if you go, okay, I should have said that, then great. Now speak again. How many times did David have to speak and learn? Moses too. Speak. And verse 4, and Yahweh saw the light, and it was good. And the darkness from the light. And Yahweh, what happens when He calls it? If you call something, what happens? Air in motion. Breath. Breath. The light and the darkness. He called. Breath, air in motion. So it was evening. It was morning. And Yahweh said, boom. Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it be means of dividing the waters and the waters. And not only He made the expanses, and it divided between the waters and under the expanses, and the waters were above the expanses, and it was so. And Elohim called the expanses heavens. So it was evening and it was morning a second day. And Yahweh said, let the waters under the heavens. And we spoke, power went out. What is He expecting from us? We are the sons of Elohim. We are the image of Elohim. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16 says you are the temple, the place, the dwelling place of the Ruach HaKodesh. What are you doing with it? Walking out in faith. But that's it. So, Father, we thank you.
Okay. There's a lot of pictures in my mind.
Yeah, I'm good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that as we walk out in faith, you'll give us the words. And I thank you that back in, late 20-some years ago, I was a teenager. I thought just sitting in the back of a church was a pretty good position when you sent the man, Greg Phelps, to release that creative power over me. Everybody in this room have received that power. Sean and Izzy have spoken that over their children. Would somebody like to do a prophecy?
Well, rejoice again, I say rejoice. I am here. I'm in your presence. I have my arms continually about thee, uplifting thee and giving the desires of your heart as you commingle your life with mine and we become as one.
Amen. Thanks.